This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And welcome, welcome. You're here live with Dr. Jeff Werber. Good morning. Happy Sunday on this lovely, well, a little cloudy here in LA at least, holiday weekend. And just, I don't know what you, most people probably like holiday weekends. I'm not one of them. There's a reason. It's nice to have a little time off. But what happens is I, you know, have a certain number of people that I'm going to see every week. And you would think, well, obviously on a holiday weekend, I'm going to see less because I'm closed today. Well, guess what? It doesn't happen that way. Because what happens is this, I have the same amount of people, but now instead of spreading them into 5 days, they're spreading into four. So every time I get back after being gone for a holiday weekend, like a Monday or whatever it is, tomorrow we're going to be gone. Tuesday, I'm going to be so swamped. I may have time to take a breath. I certainly won't have time to eat any. Well, I don't eat anyway during the day. But you know, the one granola bar that I eat or a cup of coffee, I may not have a chance to do that. So we'll see. But it is nice, of course, today and tomorrow. Obviously, people are going to be doing the barbecuing and doing whatever they do. So here for you, here for your pets. As you know, my tagline, anything you want to say, now's the time to ask. It's free advice. And I love giving advice. I love giving free advice. I do it all the time. So why not continue? So how to get a hold of me? If you're here on Instagram, just ask away. Pet Life Radio, 877-385-8882. Once again, Pet Life Radio, 877-385-8882. Or you can ask away right here. The questions get to me. And I always say, you don't have to wait till Sunday on a show day to ask away. All you need to do is you can get a hold of me, Dr. Jeff at PetLifeRadio.com, or on Instagram. You know, well, obviously, if you're here on Instagram, then you know how to get a hold of me because you probably do it all the time. And I love it. Now, questions coming in from Dr. Werb. I have taken my dog to many vets trying to figure out his issue. Well, what is the issue? Share it with me and let's see if I can help. Hopefully I can help and I will do my best. And so ask away. Let's see another question. Now, a lot of waving. I want some questions. Good morning. Good morning. All right. So yes, what is the issue? Because that would help me a lot knowing the issue before I try to, well, there are a lot of things it could be. Here's a good one. When do I transition from puppy food? Well, if you go back, and I mean way back, it didn't break down. It was Purina Puppy Chow. And the old tagline, puppy chow for a full year till he's full grown. Well, that might be an oversimplification. Why? Because smaller breeds mature much more quickly. You probably can go 8 months, 9 months. You can actually start switching over to adult. You do it slowly. And I recommend also when you're going to switch over to an adult food from a puppy food, if you can, if they have the variety, at least try to stick A with the same brand. Because I don't think the difference would be so great between their adult and their puppy food. The second thing you want to do is, even though it is the same brand, you want to do it slowly, a gradual. Because what happens is that when you have an intestinal tract that's used to a certain diet and you abruptly change that diet, it's almost like the dog going out and getting a hold of something. Let's put it this way. I have one already came in this morning from a friend of mine. I get so many calls. My dog has bloody stool. They show me a picture of stool with a little soft, with mucus and blood. And of course, you see blood in a bowel movement. You are nervous and I don't blame you. But the first questions I ask, first of all, how's the dog acting? Acting fine, running, playful, still wants to eat. Right there, that tells me whatever it is, it's not really that bad. So then next step is I start asking, you know, when I think about colitis, which is blood in the stool, here's my checklist. First of all, the things that I think about, nerves, stress, anxiety, diet, diet change, eating something you shouldn't have. So when you get all this stuff, right, it could be any number of things. So then I say, well, I start asking questions. History is one of the most important things to make a diagnosis. Oh, well, my dog was at the doggy daycare. Oh my God. Well then, or boarding at one of the, I said, was it in cage boarding or boarding, you know, out of cage with a lot of other animals? Oh, they do both. At night, they put them in their cages when they're not supervised. Otherwise they're together. Ding, 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 ding. All these things going on. Well, of course. First of all, you got a lot of excitement, a lot of running around, a lot of play. And of course, there's no way this dog did not get a hold of somebody else's treat, somebody else's toy, whatever it was. Why he has colitis. I'm not even remotely worried. So then what I recommend is, first of all, getting back on routine, You can add a little fiber, psyllium powder, cooked oatmeal. Some people use canned pumpkin or sweet potato. Give it a few days. It's not going to be instant gratification. So just keep that in mind. Now, I do have some questions coming in, which is I love. So here we go back to some hot stuff. Here's what he does. It's something I related to. It's behind, squeaks every now and then chases his back end. Then the day tends to want to sit behind, not poop with the other. Ah, okay. So there, what I would look for, a couple of things. Before you go to the vet, I would, if you know where the anal glands are and you've been taught how to express them for the dog, that's my first thought. So a lot of people are queasy about doing that. It's something that it's a certain art to know how to do it. And unless you're really good at it, you got to just let it know. I've been squirted, yes, in the face, and it's not pleasurable, not at all. And this smell stays with you forever. It's a tough one. Think of a skunk's gland. It's the doggy version of a skunk's gland. So it is, but most people that have tried it aren't going to want to continue to do it. But if you can, and you know, either a groomer can do it or your veterinarian, if that doesn't solve the problem, or if the anal glands aren't full, a rectal exam would be the next thing I would do. Just checking the butt, making sure there's nothing stuck in there, making sure there's no polyps, something that is causing some discomfort or pain as the dog wants to sit and squat, that interesting position when they defecate. That's where I would start. Now, if all that's normal, then we're looking at some other things we can talk about. I would think about maybe something along the lower spine, in the hips, but those things don't come on suddenly. If this is something that came on suddenly, or it hasn't been around for years, then the orthopedic things are much less likely. It's going to be something, the most obvious is anal glands. That's the first and foremost. Then maybe something going on in the rectum itself. But other than that, it's something obviously you need to have them checked out well. But I believe you're going to find your answer probably with the anal glands. Yeah, it is discomfort. It's uncomfortable. And now if it's truly discomfort, assuming that position, here's a good one. If you ask the dog without the pooping and the squatting to defecate, just ask your dog to sit and get up, sit, get up. If they do that without issue, without incident, then it's not orthopedic. It's not the lumbosacral. It's not the hips. It's the same. So then I go back to something more localized to the anus. All right. I appreciate all the information. We pay attention to the percent of fat in a dog food and what range as some of these fresh dog breakfasts. So yeah, 25 to 30% is high, but remember, fat doesn't make you get fat. I mean, fat has more calories per kilocalories. It's 9 compared to 4 in protein and carbohydrates. So that's per gram. So you have to really gauge how your pet is doing. Certain fats are good. When you're dealing with a minimized fat, and this is very interesting, is that some foods that are like weight reduction foods are loaded with more fiber, but low calorie-ish fiber and less carbs. Because carbs, really, when we get back, it's usually we're eating too many carbs. Carbs convert it to the sugar, and that's breakdown. And then we actually add the calories and add the weight that way. Fat is good. In fact, you know, it's like that, what was it, Atkins, one of those diets, they said you can eat as much fat as you want. Didn't bode him very well as he died of cardiac disease. But anyway, it's something to watch for. 18 to 25% might be a normal, but I would go, if you're feeding something the dog is doing well with, and he does have a nice shiny coat and the higher fat content should help that, and he's doing well, then I don't necessarily, you should always pay attention to it, but you look at how the dog is doing on that diet. If the stools are normal, they're energetic, this coat's clean, they love the food. By the way, fat is one of the things that makes the food tasty. So then I would say, go ahead. That range, 30% could be a little high, but it all depends on the dog. And also you have to compare dry matter basis versus canned food. So you can't always look at those one-to-one because you have to break it down because obviously the dry diets are going to have decreased, obviously, water content. There is more dilution. So some of these values, the percentages seem higher, but it's falsely elevated. My pit bull, Maggie, he worked under when she was a puppy, adopted her from Vicky at Eloise, who's great, by the way. Anyway, she has allergy to most foods and gets really pink sometimes and wants to bathe. Can I bathe her weekly with what shampoo? Gentle. Okay. So yes, if she responds to bathing, that's good. Typically, the symptom of food allergy that we see most commonly, foot chewing, face rubbing, and ears. So if we have a dog that is chewing its feet all the time, now, if it's only now, lately, seasonal, spring, summer, then it's probably because of a seasonal allergy or something put on the ground, some fertilizers that they get back from their walk and they're licking and clicking. And also remember one thing, that licking breeds licking. So once a dog, for whatever reason, starts to attack its feet, if they start causing irritation from the licking, then they're going to continue to lick more from the irritation that they caused, as opposed to the irritation from whatever it was that caused it in the first place. But food allergies seem to, first of all, they're non-seasonal, because unless you seasonally change the food, then most likely it's something that's there. And again, as we always say, some of the key food allergens that dogs with confirmed food allergies seem to be most sensitive to are chicken, turkey, poultry, beef, corn, and wheat. And when you look at those are the grains and the proteins that most feed for years had in them. So the first thing we look for, the best way to go to really rule out food allergy is going to be a non-allergenic diet. There are very few out there. They use actually protein fragments. They've already broken the proteins down, so they are not recognizable by the body as an antigen. And then also hydrolyzed protein. That also reduces the antigenicity of the proteins. But what other people are recommending, just because that is really hard to feed and the food is more expensive and dogs don't always like it. So then you look for what we call novel proteins or single antigen diets. So this is like one protein, one, whether it's a grain or a vegetable or whatever else they put in it, and you know, for the carbs, for the calories. And that's basically it. So you're looking for novel meaning new, something that they've probably never been exposed to before. Rabbit, venison, bison, lamb, duck, tilapia, salmon, cod, even kangaroo. So you're looking for things that are really off the beaten path. Dogs probably never seen before. So even if they were to develop an allergy to that protein, it's going to take them a while. But when you're going to do any of these food trials, which is the best way to truly diagnose food allergies, the allergy tests don't do it, just so you know. Then it takes consistency. It takes perseverance and really strict abiding by this new diet. You can't sneak in a treat. You got to be really careful feeding from the table, because if they get one thing, especially if it has the big four, beef, poultry, corn, and wheat, they're going to start scratching again. So you got to be really, really careful. So yes, a gentle shampoo is fine. There are some really, really good gentle shampoos out there. I hate to direct you always to my line, but I have the Aloe Oat. I have a really good For Real shampoo, which has the antibiotic and also the antifungal. So it's got both. It's a really, really good food. It's very mild. And in a pinch, we've talked about this before. In a pinch, if you need to bathe your dog with something kind of mild, you can use, get ready for this, Dawn or Palmolive dishwashing soap. The pH seems to match a dog's skin better, and it's mild. It is cleaning, and it's really good. There are also, many, many shampoos out there that are antifungal and antibacterial at the same time. So that's kind of what you should be looking for. And yes, weekly is good. Twice a week, maybe not. Again, Terry, you have to look at the actual skin itself, because if there are lesions, scabs, sores, we call either epidermal collarettes, evidence of the pyoderma, which is skin infection, then you might want to use the shampoos that are antibacterial or antifungal. So that's important as well. Okay, Hilda, I just adopted a puppy, and suggestions of a good brand of food. There's so many on the market. Yes, there are many on the market. And that's why I am hesitant to recommend any single food. What I recommend is something that the dog likes. One thing I can say, foods that are AFCO certified. AFCO is the Association of American Feed Control Officials. And food should have an AFCO certification, where it says their ingredients meet or exceed those levels as established by AFCO. If the food is not AFCO certified, I would be hesitating to recommend it. Now, the thing that you're looking for then is a food that is A, for you, affordable, B, convenient, so you don't have to drive miles and miles and miles to this one pet store in all of Los Angeles, for example, that has the food. Impractical. Practicality is big with me. And that, of course, the dog likes it. Nice shiny coat, good stools, et cetera, et cetera. So start with something that is easy for you to get. And also talk to, you know, friends and neighbors. There are, as you said, I go to these trade shows, these pet shows, Super Zoo and Global Pet Expo. And there are well over 100 food purveyors. It's too complicated. That's me telling you what ice cream to buy. You got to see what you like, in this case, what the dog likes. And the puppy likes, most likely the puppy likes everything. And if it's easy for you to get and it's in your price range, go for it. Anal glands, oh, back to hot stuff. Anal glands have been cleared every month. So now when they're being cleared though, is whoever's clearing them, are they getting anal secretion? Because if they are, then there might be an issue with the anal glands. And that could be why towards the end, now, if the anals get expressed and they're empty and we're still seeing this, then you definitely need a good rectal exam. And if that is negative, then the next step is to get some x-rays and see maybe there is something anatomically, something neuromuscular that is causing discomfort when the dog tries to assume that squatting position. And if this has been around for years, good, you're asking, I'm answering you each question at a time. So if the rectum has been checked too, and it's normal, it's been around for years, then I would, so it's been around for years. Now let's go back to what I said earlier. Then it could be something developmental. It could be something orthopedic, anatomical, like skeletal. So x-rays are in order. When they do x-rays, obviously you want to check the knees and the hips. And also a lateral x-ray should be done looking at the spine, especially the LS area, lumbosacral area. And then when they take the x-rays, you want to take the x-rays on, it's called a lateral film. That means they're on their side. Both legs pulled back, take a picture, and then both legs cupped underneath, okay, like that squatting position, and take a picture. And you're looking at the lumbosacral area, and if there is a lot of change, a lot of movement from the last lumbar vertebrae called L7 and the first sacral vertebrae called S1, it's part of the S1-2-3 complex, because those are joined, and S1-2-3 are all merged together, then that might be a good indicator of something called cauda equina syndrome, which could explain some of this discomfort. So I would definitely check that out. All right. Terry Ben, adopted Maggie. Here's from Eloise. Safe to bathe her weekly, every 3 weeks, food allergies. Again, try to extend it as much as you can. If every 3 weeks doesn't seem to help, but every 2 weeks does, then stick to 2 weeks. If every 1 week helps and the others don't, then once a week is fine. Something mild, antibacterial, and antifungal, and that could work. Is there a healthy fruits that I can give my elderly dog? There are a lot of fruits. I'll tell you what to avoid. I want to avoid raisins and grapes. Some say, currants, which are very simple, which are basically a form of grape. I think that some of the better fruits that dogs really like, dogs like bananas, they like apples, but avoid the skin. Vegetable-wise, they love carrots. So they don't have cellulase. Cellulase is what's used to help digest the skins of a lot of these fruits, or very fibrous fruits like celery, like lettuce, cucumber. They're not toxic. They just don't digest them well. So I usually recommend removing that outer skin, removing the apple skin. But the fruit itself, they like. My dogs love cantaloupe. So do I. So when I cut up cantaloupe, and I always have cut up cantaloupe in my fridge, I'll use it as a treat for dogs. The only thing I no longer do that I used to are the grapes. I personally have never had a dog that had this grape toxicity. There's no way to test for it. Now, the recommendation is, because we can't test for which dogs have it and which dogs don't, every dog, we should avoid grapes and raisins. But I used to give it, cats, my Labradors would sit there, they would jump a mile high to get a grape. So just like they loved it, I loved it, but now I don't do it anymore, just in case. All right, let's break here while I'm saying hello. Again, I am always late on our break. I get dirty looks from Mark, our producer at Pet Life Radio. So we're going to break for a second, run the commercials, and we'll be back after these short messages. I want more questions.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And I'm on a flight budget. I make my dogs. Oh, great. So I'm glad you asked that. I don't know if you heard. Here's the issue with home-cooked foods is that it's convenient. It's less expensive. I know my son, when he was feeding his dogs, one of the fancy brands that, you sell. I don't want to mention any names. it was so expensive. He said, you know what? They looked at the ingredients, look what's in it. And they said, well, we can make that. And they started making their own dog food, which is fine. However, a lot of these foods are AFCO certified and well-balanced from a vitamin and mineral standpoint. So if you're going to do that, then I highly recommend that you add some sort of multivitamin mineral supplement just to help the balance, to make sure they're getting all the nutrients they need. If you look at ingredients of these foods, they put a lot in. Now, some argue, and I'm not a nutritionist, so I can't verify it. The reason why they put all these things in is because in the processing of the food, they destroy all the vitamins, therefore, the natural vitamins that are there. So therefore, when they are making the food, they got to put them all back in. And that might be the reason they're there. Others say, no, the reason they're there is because we've determined that it's too difficult to eat everything and have all the vitamin needs met. So therefore, just to be safe, we put them back in. My feeling is, since I don't know the answer, better safe than sorry. My perfect example I always give, especially with the water-soluble vitamins like vitamin C. There is a level below which vitamin C deficiency causes scurvy. Now, would you want to just give just exactly that amount or do you want to, since it's water soluble, you just urinate out the excess, or do you want to give something two or three times that just to be safe? I'm the latter. So do I take vitamin C? Yes, I do. So that's how I feel about vitamins. Give a multivitamin or supplement. We develop our Body Boost just to be enough to provide that which may be missing in food, even regular foods, let alone home cooked. So if you want to do home cooked, the pet seems to like it, then that's what I would recommend. All right. So good choice adult food at 9 months. Yes, you can definitely do 9 months. That is fine. Ah, these are great questions. You're going to keep me busy today. Yeah. So adult food at 9 months. Next, do you recommend moving the extra dew claws on a Great Pyrenees? No, not on Great Pyrenees, not on breeds that is part of the breed essence are the double hind dew claws in the Great Pyrenees. Now, of course, if they were persistently getting caught on things and having a problem, then again, form versus function. So if functionally they needed to come out, then yes. But form, this is the Great Pyrenees. And I've been seeing Great Pyrenees for 40 years. I have never had to remove the hind dew claws. So I don't know what to tell you. They're there. They're part of the breed. It's a breed trait. And therefore, when they're there, I leave them. Assuming it's not ever been a problem, then that would be my recommendation. If he or she were my patient, I'd say, no, we'll obviously keep an eye on them. If they get a problem, they get caught on something, then of course we may have to remove them. But otherwise, that's a Great Pyrenees. We love to see that. So I remember having years ago when getting a client coming in with their Pyrenees and they were looking for a second opinion, and their first vet recommended as a puppy that they should remove the dew claws. I said, if the dew claws are disjointed, meaning they're just sit there floppy, no purpose, yes, I recommend removing them. They're an accident waiting to happen. Front dew claws, as I've been talked about before, where we used to remove them, now we no longer remove them unless, of course, they too are disjointed. But if they're attached and you can feel the joint, leave them alone. They actually serve a function. That when dogs run and they jump and they land off the couch, that those things, believe it or not, do hit the floor and they prevent the wrist from rolling back and forth. So live and learn. You can teach an old dog new tricks. And I was taught this as an old dog. So definitely do it. But when it comes to the Pyrenees, I usually leave them. I'm so bossy. I had a dog I had to euthanize 2 weeks ago. She was 15, had renal failure. I feel guilty because I've done more for her. She's not in a hospital. No, first of all, 15 years old is a great age. And with renal failure, now there's a difference between renal disease and renal failure. And my feeling is, depending on how high the BUN and creatinine were and the dog's age and how the dog was presented clinically, if this dog was really getting sick, drinking water like crazy, peeing like crazy, getting weaker, stops eating, and 15 years of age with very, very, very high renal values, it's time. There's no need to have this dog suffer. And even if it was a difference of a week or two, what was that week or two? We get to a point where we're thinking, are we treating the dog for you, or are we treating the dog for the dog? And we don't want to be selfish, and we can never make a mistake. We can make a terrible mistake by waiting too long, but we can't make a mistake. If it's when you look at 15 years and multiply that by 52, that's a lot of weeks. Statistically, to put that dog to sleep 2 weeks early to save any kind of suffering, any kind of pain, any kind of feeling miserable, talk to a person who's in renal disease. Talk to a person who's going in on a regular basis, as I know one such person, for dialysis and how they feel when their next dialysis is due, going in three times a week for 3 or 4 hours for dialysis. Not pleasant. So since we don't do that in dogs, again, I load them up with fluids. I do this for 4 or 5 consecutive days. I then retest. If we didn't really make a big dent in the values and they're not doing well, they're weak, they're in a sense suffering, they're just ADR, ain't doing right. They're no longer excited to see you. They no longer respond. It's just to keep them alive so we could say, oh, my dog lived to 16. No, that's not a good reason. So it sounds like you made the right decision. You prevented suffering. And think of the glass half full. Think of the many great years you had and know that you gave her a gift to prevent the suffering by saying goodbye. That's how I feel. All right. What test can you do to find out your dog keeps having yellow bile in the morning? Now, I assume you're talking about spitting up in the morning. And there are a number of things that one can do to try. First of all, usually that is like a gastric reflux, kind of the doggy version of GERD. And it's a reflux disease, and it usually happens when they have an empty stomach. So first thing I recommend before we do any kind of medication is give a late night snack. I recommend taking about a third or a quarter of dinner away, setting it aside, and feeding to them maybe 10 p.m. Give them something in the stomach before they go to bed and see if that helps. It often does. If it doesn't, do the same thing, but about 15 minutes before that late night snack, give like a half of a Prilosec, half of a Pepcid, just a proton inhibitor, and let's see how that works by decreasing the acidity in the stomach. And that might also help with that bile in the morning. If that doesn't help, then there are some other things that need to be evaluated, but usually those things help pretty well. So that would be where I would start and see what happens. Next, my pug. From For Goodness, Richie, it's Scanlon. I can't seem to find a solution. He's on a salmon dry food diet and Brevecta once a month. Any tips? Well, again, I would want to know, first of all, are there any skin infections? Secondly, is this seasonal? If it's seasonal and it seems to be getting worse, then some of the new medications, speak to your veterinarian, like the Cytopoint or the Apoquil. Sometimes we have to resort to good old-fashioned corticosteroids, which is not my first choice anymore, or desensitizing. If it's a young pug, and you do the allergy test and find out the allergens that are causing this, then I'd highly recommend thinking about desensitization. It doesn't work all the time. And sometimes it's not a cure, but it will help remedy a lot of the scratching. Then it is definitely worth it. So speak to your veterinarian about allergy testing. It can be done in the office with a blood test, a serum test. Very effective as far as identifying allergies, 75-80%. And then hopefully, if you have a dog that responds to the desensitization, the serums, either do sublingually in the mouth or injections. Again, talk to your vet about pros and cons of that, but there are some ways to relieve this. But also make sure the fleas are under control, okay, which it sounds like at Brevecto, and there are no secondary bacterial infection. Homemade food, you must add a supplement. I agree, yes. We talked about that. When you stop giving puppy food, we talked about that. Great questions coming late. I'm over time. I can't see the screen anymore with Mark or my producer, but I'm sure I'm getting dirty looks. So save some of these questions. We'll get back. If I couldn't get to Sarah Ray, 85, what can you do if the puppy gets a short shave all over and keeps licking his body all over? No rash, but he won't stop licking. That could be totally because of the shaving. Again, we could talk about that. I have a great soothing spray called Dermamist that you can use. We have a flush called Fur Flush. So if you want to reach out to me, I'll give you ways to get those products. That could help a lot. Increase in lepto in our area? The answer is no, we haven't seen. More dogs with allergies in the last few years. I don't know if it's gotten any greater. I think maybe our recognition has gotten improved, but I don't know if it's necessarily any more. Anyway, I'm 8 minutes over. I do apologize to Mark. I don't apologize to those of you on Instagram. I don't know. Maybe I have to make this show longer. I don't know. We'll have to see. Love the questions. And yet some weeks we don't get enough. And today we got a lot of them. Fantastic. Anyway, have a wonderful Memorial Day holiday weekend. We will see you here next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. If you do have any questions, please send them to me. Or better yet, well, if it's an urgent, send them now. If it can wait and you just information you want, don't forget, I'll be here next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Ask me next week. It's great food for our show is to have your wonderful questions. Thank you so much for joining me here on Pet Life Radio and on Instagram Live. And we'll see you here next week. And have a great time today. If you're going to have a barbecue today or tomorrow, enjoy.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand
only on PetLifeRadio.com.